It's great to have a personal desire to follow Jesus on the second mile, but to do so successfully, you need some people around you heading down the same path. We need friendships that encourage our discipleship, and that's why it's time to go the second mile and keeping reliable connections and directions. Hey, this is Travis Agnew. Thank you for joining me for the Second Mile Podcast, where we seek to live out the words of Jesus from Matthew 5:41, where he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you want to go the second. And that's why today I want to talk to you about really kind of catchy phrase here, right? Reliable connections and directions. Made it rhyme so you can remember it and put it into practice here today. But here's the deal. As a pastor and as a disciple of Jesus myself, I know this, that typically the health of my own walk with Jesus has a lot to do with those that are surrounding me, the people that I put in my life that are helping track in the right direction. And here's going to tell you, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound like your mama. But I'm concerned about some of the relationships you have, right? And you go, well, you don't know my situation, but here's what I do know. Probably the vibrancy of your walk with Christ is probably reflective of some people that you're around. If you find yourself around negative influences, you're probably trending in negative directions. If you find yourself being pushed and wanting to really get eager in your growth with Christ, it's probably because you have a few friends or relationships in your corner that are wanting the exact same thing. And in all honesty, for most of my life that I have been following Jesus, I've realized that at every stage, I really am reflective of those deepest relationships around me. And I want to show you something from Scripture today that maybe helpfully open up your eyes to this and just some practical ways to apply it. Because some of you may have had all the dedication in the world and you really have good intentions and you're passionate about Jesus, but you feel like you're not making progress. And here's the reason why. Jesus is telling you to go in this direction and the people that you're around most of the time are not encouraging that direction. And so some of you have the right motivation, right intention, right passion and purpose of what you want to do to follow Jesus. But just unfortunately, you don't have people around you that want to do the same thing. And so I want to show you practically not only why this is the way it is, but also what you can do to ensure that you can be following Jesus for the long haul with other people as well. Have you ever considered that one of the first things that Jesus, we see him do in the Gospels is to gather a group of friends that hang out all the time? You go, okay, that's a little too simplistic, right? But I want you to see that he was making disciples, but it wasn't so like, hey, I'll see you a week from now if you show up and I'm going to give you a lesson. It is, hey, come follow me. Let's be together. And so they were in each other's homes. They were on the road together. They took trips together. They experienced a whole lot of life. They knew each other's families. They were very, very close. And so Jesus, he really did identify one of the first things in his ministry. First opening pages, he identified this friend group, and that friend group went everywhere he went. Now he's discipling them, right? But we also see that there were certain times where he was overwhelmed, he said, to the point of death. And what did he do? He gathered some friends to pray with him. When he invited them along the path, not only was he inviting John to be there, but he's also inviting Bart to be there, right? And he's taking Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot and saying, you guys are going to hang out. And so they, you know, as he identifies his friend group, that guys that are going to be with him and guys that are going to be with each other, they begin to experience ministry opportunities everywhere they went. They had plenty of stories when you read through the Gospels to discuss regarding what God had done miraculously right before their eyes. And not only had they seen it, but they could also say they had a part in it. They were invited to the front row to observe, but eventually Jesus ushered them onto the stage to engage in those ministry act themselves, right? And on one such day, I was thinking about that we find Jesus teaching. He was in a home again, which I think is important to remember, but the crowd that day at that house had grown so much that no one else could even enter the door. And while such an overflow must have excited the disciples, a group of four friends was majorly discouraged. These weren't any ordinary friends, by the way. These four guys had committed to a relationship with a man who was paralyzed. Now consider how much work the friends had to do to keep such a relationship vibrant. If you were to meet, you had to do all the traveling. To go somewhere together, you had to put in extra effort. The fact that these five men were all in a relationship with one another showed a deep friendship. The four walking men had heard enough about Jesus not to let a crowded room keep them from the miracle they sought. Since they couldn't fit through the door, they decided to remove a section of the roof. We read that in Luke chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus not only miraculously healed this man, but he also graciously forgave his sin. And what prompted Jesus to do such a thing? What motivated him to help in that moment? What moved him to want to get involved? It wasn't the paralytic's faith. Instead, it says in Luke 5:20 that it says, seeing their faith. It was his friend's faith. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Did you catch it? Jesus was moved by the faith of the paralytic's friends, and out of all the terms Jesus could have called him in that moment, he called him friend. The paralytic's friend's compassion moved Jesus, and Jesus befriended him as well. I mean, it's remarkable if you think about it that Jesus calls us his friends in John 15, 15. We are more than just his servants. We're considered friends with our Savior. He befriends us and encourages us to befriend others who help us follow him well, as we read about in John 15, 17. And in this moment, we see this guy who's healed and forgiven. Why? Because he had friends that were committed to do the most important thing that any friendship can ever do for you. And that is, when you can't get to Jesus on your own, you do everything you can to make that connection possible. The question is, do you have those types of friends that when you're down are going to help get you to Jesus? So while that paralyzed man was lowered into the house on a stretcher, he walked out healed and forgiven. What made such a dramatic change that all others couldn't help but notice? His life was changed by friends who wouldn't stop until they got him to Jesus. And then Jesus made the complete life-altering moments for him, right? And so, but it was all contingent upon a group of friends that were committed, even when that relationship was challenging. We need those type of friends in our life. We need to be those types of friends as well. And no matter the cost and no matter the obstacles, we need relationships that help us overcome boundaries so we can encounter the one who can meet our deepest needs. So here's a good question for you today. Who would be coming to your side if you were down and out? If you couldn't get to them, who would ensure they could get to you? We all need those relentless friendships who keep pushing us even when they are inconvenient. We all long for those steady companions who keep moving forward no matter how difficult the challenges become. These types of relationships are essential. And while it is critical to establish that you have some friends who would help you when you couldn't help yourself, it's just as vital that you ensure the kind of help they would seek. You might have friends who will sit beside you when you are at your lowest, but that doesn't guarantee they will help you get to the place you need the most. You might have committed friends leading you to unhelpful places. You following me? That you may have some people, they're there for you, but they may not be taking you to Jesus. They're taking you somewhere else. So if the paralytic's friends had taken him to anyone other than Jesus, their compassion would have been wasted. Their friendship would have been harmful if they had allowed him to wallow in his sorrow and added their own despair. That's why you need to consider the type of friends near you. Sometimes the paralyzing situations we face are unexplained, and sometimes they are earned. We mean that you think about it, right, that we may be facing challenges you didn't ask for, and unfortunately you can't help, but there are different challenges that could be the natural consequences of your actions. And in either case, well-intended yet misdirected friends won't help you reach a satisfying conclusion. Let's just say that whatever injury you got going on, right, at the soul level is due to a bad habit or poor decisions. Well, you need to make sure that your friends, the people closest to you, aren't trying to get you back up by returning to decisions that got you there in the first place. You need compassionate friends with Christ-like intentions. If, when you were at your lowest, your friends won't do everything in their power to get you to Jesus, you might need to pick some better friends. So as you think about what Jesus did, think about how intentional he was in his own relationships, how he's coordinating that type of relationship with the other disciples, and he was always trying to establish reliable relationships that would be vital for their growth. And when you think of that type of friendship, you got to think about there's a reliable connection and a reliable direction, right? So there's, when it comes to establishing a reliable connection, you want to have those friendships that are consistent. Can you rely on these people during the good and challenging days? Will they be there when you need them? We need more than those people who come in and out of our lives based on selfish conveniences. But in addition to our reliable connection, we also need to ensure that they provide a reliable direction. Just because they are there doesn't mean they should be. Consistency doesn't guarantee helpfulness. You need to desire the type of steadfast friendships and their commitment and the trustworthiness of their direction to ensure reliable relationships in your discipleship journey. You got to take the following steps to get the most out of those Christ-centered friendships. You've got to say, first and foremost, who are the people that are going to help me follow Jesus the best? Then how can I get with around them on a regular basis? And what's the intentional way of how we're going to follow Jesus together? Here's the reality that I see as a pastor. A lot of times people who are trying to follow Jesus have a minimal, occasional, shallow relationship with other disciples, and the people that they hang out with the most are people who would not even encourage a strong sense of discipleship. And they may not be the worst people in the world, but they're kind of worldly. They're kind of like following Christ at a distance. And it's crazy for me. Some people go, I just don't know why I'm growing. And I go, look around you. The people that you spend most of your time with are not those who want to encourage your discipleship. They kind of want you to do exactly what Peter did on the night of Jesus' arrest, to follow him at a distance. And you can find people like that. They're abundant, right? But if the people that you're around occasionally, that you're in a small group with at church, you know, they're the people that you see that have a vibrant relationship with Jesus, and you're only around them occasionally, and even not in a deepened kind of way and not consistently, then it's not surprising at all that maybe you are experiencing a little bit of growth, but not consistent. It's not vibrant, and you know that to be true. I'm not telling you to get rid of any friends today, but I am telling you that you need to consider, do you have good friends? Are they a reliable connection that they're going to be there when you're down and out? But also, are they taking you to a reliable direction that when you're down and out, they know the path to get you to Jesus? Because you might have some very helpful people, but doing some unhelpful things in your life. So do you have those types of friends? Are you that type of friend to other people? Are you finding those reliable connections that are taking you in those reliable directions as you seek to follow Jesus? Folks, your friendships and relationships are important. I hope to see you on the Second Mile.